January 22nd. Our reading in the Old Testament today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 44, verse 1, through chapter 45, verse 28. We'll read about recognition. When Joseph saw that his brothers' hearts were humble, and when he heard them confess their sins, he knew it was safe to reveal his identity to them. Had he done it earlier, they would not have been ready for the blessings he had for them. And had he waited longer, the men might have been in total despair. Our Lord knows just how to work in our lives to bring us to submission. Joseph could have fed them and their father without going through this lengthy procedure, but it would only have further ruined their character. We'll read about reconciliation. Joseph said, "Please come near to me." He had forgiven them, but they were still afraid. In fact, they would still be afraid 17 years later. In Jesus Christ, we have been reconciled to God, and we need not fear judgment. God wants us to draw near to Him. We'll also read about reassurance. Joseph explained to them that God had sent him before them to preserve the nation so that Israel could be a blessing to all the earth. God's providential purpose did not minimize their sins or negate their responsibility, but it did help to ease their fear and sorrow. Joseph further reassured them by giving them rich gifts and promising to care for the whole family. The gifts he sent home helped to give Jacob the assurance he needed that Joseph indeed was alive. Joseph knew his brothers, so he admonished them, "Don't be angry with yourselves, and don't quarrel on the journey." See, we quickly lose the blessing when we fail to accept Christ's forgiveness and then love one another. And now let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. January 22nd, Genesis chapter 44, verse 1, through chapter 45, verse 28. When his brothers were ready to leave, Joseph gave these instructions to the man in charge of his household. "Fill each of their sacks with as much grain as they can carry, and put each man's money back into his sack. Then put my personal silver cup at the top of the youngest brother's sack, along with his grain money." So the household manager did as he was told. The brothers were up at dawn and set out on their journey with their loaded donkeys. But when they were barely out of the city, Joseph said to his household manager, "Chase after them and stop them. Ask them, 'Why have you repaid an act of kindness with such evil? What do you mean by stealing my master's personal silver drinking cup, which he uses to predict the future? What a wicked thing you have done!'" So the man caught up with them and spoke to them in the way he had been instructed. "What are you talking about?" the brothers responded. "What kind of people do you think we are, that you accuse us of such a terrible thing? Didn't we bring back the money we found in our sacks? Why would we steal silver or gold from your master's house? If you find his cup with any one of us, let that one die, and all the rest of us will be your master's slaves forever." "Fair enough," the man replied, "except that only the one who stole it will be a slave. The rest of you may go free." They quickly took their sacks from the backs of their donkeys and opened them. Joseph's servant began searching the oldest brother's sack, going on down the line to the youngest. The cup was found in Benjamin's sack. At this, they tore their clothing in despair, loaded the donkeys again, and returned to the city. Joseph was still at home when Judah and his brothers arrived, and they fell to the ground before him. "What were you trying to do?" Joseph demanded. "Didn't you know that a man such as I would know who stole it?" And Judah said, "Oh, my Lord, what can we say to you? How can we plead? How can we prove our innocence? God is punishing us for our sins. My Lord, we have all returned to be your slaves, we and our brother who had your cup in his sack." "No," Joseph said, "only the man who stole the cup will be my slave. The rest of you may go home to your father." Then Judah stepped forward and said, "My Lord, let me say just this one word to you. Be patient with me for a moment, for I know you could have me killed in an instant, as though you were Pharaoh himself. You asked us, my lord, if we had a father or a brother. We said, yes, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, his youngest son. His brother is dead, and he alone is left of our mother's children, and his father loves him very much. And you said to us, bring him here so I can see him. But we said to you, my lord, the boy cannot leave his father, for his father would die. But you told us, you may not see me again unless your youngest brother is with you. So we returned to our father and told him what you had said. And when he said, go back again and buy us a little food, we replied, we can't unless you let our youngest brother go with us. We won't be allowed to see the man in charge of the grain unless our youngest brother is with us. Then my father said to us, you know that my wife had two sons, and that one of them went away and never returned, doubtless torn to pieces by some wild animal. I have never seen him since. If you take away his brother from me too, and any harm comes to him, you would bring my gray head down to the grave in deep sorrow. And now, my lord, I cannot go back to my father without the boy. Our father's life is bound up in the boy's life. When he sees that the boy is not with us, our father will die. We will be responsible for bringing his gray head down to the grave in sorrow. My lord, I made a pledge to my father that I would take care of the boy. I told him, if I don't bring him back to you, I will bear the blame forever. Please, my lord, let me stay here as a slave instead of the boy, and let the boy return with his brothers. For how can I return to my father if the boy is not with me? I cannot bear to see what this would do to him. Joseph could stand it no longer. Out, all of you, he cried to his attendants. He wanted to be alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. Then he broke down and wept aloud. His sobs could be heard throughout the palace, and the news was quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Come over here, he said. So they came closer. And he said again, I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into Egypt. But don't be angry with yourselves that you did this to me, for God did it. He sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. These 2 years of famine will grow to 7, during which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God has sent me here to keep you and your families alive, so that you will become a great nation. Yes, it was God who sent me here, not you. And he has made me a counselor to Pharaoh, manager of his entire household, and ruler over all Egypt. Hurry, return to my father and tell him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me master over all the land of Egypt. Come down to me right away. You will live in the land of Goshen, so you can be near me with all your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all that you have. I will take care of you there, for there are still 5 years of famine ahead of us. Otherwise, you and your household will come to utter poverty. Then Joseph said, you can see for yourselves, so can my brother Benjamin, that I really am Joseph. Tell my father how I am honored here in Egypt. Tell him about everything you have seen, and bring him to me quickly. Weeping with joy, he embraced Benjamin, and Benjamin also began to weep. Then Joseph kissed each of his brothers and wept over them, and then they began talking freely with him. The news soon reached Pharaoh. Joseph's brothers have come. Pharaoh was very happy to hear this, and so were his officials. Pharaoh said to Joseph, tell your brothers to load their pack animals and return quickly to their homes in Canaan. Tell them to bring your father and all of their families and to come here to Egypt to live. Tell them Pharaoh will assign to you the very best territory in the land of Egypt, you will live off the fat of the land. And tell your brothers to take wagons from Egypt, to carry their wives and little ones, and to bring your father here. Don't worry about your belongings, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours." So the sons of Jacob did as they were told. Joseph gave them wagons, as Pharaoh had commanded, and he supplied them with provisions for the journey. And he gave each of them new clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 5 changes of clothes and 300 pieces of silver. He sent his father 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 donkeys loaded with grain and all kinds of other food to be eaten on his journey. So he sent his brothers off, and as they left, he called after them, "Don't quarrel along the way." And they left Egypt and returned to their father Jacob in the land of Canaan. "Joseph is still alive," they told him, "and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt." Jacob was stunned at the news. He couldn't believe it. But when they had given him Joseph's messages, and when he saw the wagons loaded with the food sent by Joseph, his spirit revived. Then Jacob said, "It must be true. My son Joseph is alive. I will go and see him before I die." January 22nd. Our reading today in the New Testament will be from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 36. There are some principles here in this passage of Scripture that I don't want you to miss. First principle is this: tell it to Jesus. The disciples of John the Baptist were stunned, so they share their grief with Jesus. Life will bring its disappointments, no doubt, and you got to learn how to handle them. Jesus will help you. Another principle: not only tell it to Jesus, but bring it to Jesus. The 12 said, "Send them away," but Jesus said, "Bring what you have to me. Give him your all, and he'll use it to meet the need." He can do the impossible with whatever is wholly given to him. So give it all to him, withholding nothing. You can even bring to him people who need his touch. Another principle we'll read about here in Matthew 14 is look to Jesus. Some storms come because of our disobedience, but this one came because they obeyed Jesus. Peter did walk on the water, but when distracted by dangers around him, he took his eyes off Jesus. We look to Jesus by faith when we trust his word. So beware of distractions. And now, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. January 22nd, Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 through 36. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he went off by himself in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed him by land from many villages. A vast crowd was there as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and it is getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus replied, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "Impossible," they exclaimed. "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish." "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looked up toward heaven, and asked God's blessings on the food. Breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave some of the bread and fish to each disciple, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and they picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men had eaten from those 5 loaves, in addition to all the women and children. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, They screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "It's all right," he said. "I am here. Don't be afraid." Then Peter called to him. "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water." "All right, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. "You don't have much faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. After they had crossed the lake, they landed at Gennesaret. The news of their arrival spread quickly throughout the whole surrounding area, and soon people were bringing all their sick to be healed. The sick begged him to let them touch even the fringe of his robe, and all who touched it were healed. Psalm 18, verses 37 through 50. We'll read about God's gentleness. God did many things to make David a great soldier, but his gentleness made David what he was. God was doing more than winning wars. He was building character. It humbled David to think that God would condescend to call him, equip him, and help him. We'll read about God's exaltedness. David did not take credit for his victories. No, he gave all the glory to the Lord. Whatever David had, God gave it to him. Whatever he was, God made him. Whatever he did, God enabled him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 18, verses 37 through 50. I chased my enemies and caught them. I did not stop until they were conquered. I struck them down so they could not get up. They fell beneath my feet. You have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued my enemies under my feet. You made them turn and run. I have destroyed all who hated me. They called for help, but no one came to rescue them. They cried to the Lord, but he refused to answer them. I ground them as fine as dust carried by the wind. I swept them into the gutter like dirt. You gave me victory over my accusers. You appointed me as the ruler over nations. People I don't even know now serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they submit. Foreigners cringe before me. They all lose their courage and come trembling from their strongholds. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. May the God of my salvation be exalted. He is the God who pays back those who harm me. He subdues the nations under me and rescues me from my enemies. You hold me safe beyond the reach of my enemies. You save me from violent opponents. For this, O Lord, I will praise you among the nations. I will sing joyfully to your name. You give great victories to your king. You show unfailing love to your anointed, to David and all his descendants forever. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. If you live a life guided by wisdom, you won't limp or stumble as you run. Carry out my instructions. Don't forsake them. Guard them, for they will lead you to a fulfilled life.